Amen. Well, I got two waters up here tonight. So you know what that means. Amen. Isn't that good? That's going to be good. Two waters. That's going to take a while, right? Did y'all bring a lunch or something? So, I tell you what, I hope the Lord is your hero tonight. And I hope that you're not still searching for the ultimate hero. Tonight, I noticed some things around here. Tonight, there was a cricket visiting our church over here on Melvin's pew. And I think that Stephen confronted it because it was in Melvin's pew. And turns out he's a church hopper. And so Stephen bludgeoned him with a book and didn't kill him, just wounded him, like most Baptists do at the church. And he's limping off saying, I'll never go back there again. Anyway, and, I appreciate everybody doing a lot of work around here. Man, I'm going to tell you what, appreciate everybody, young people and the rest of us, somewhat young people. I'll just leave it there. Helping out in the church and putting everything in place for Vacation Bible School. Want to reach these kids, want to reach their families. And I know Vacation Bible School has played a part in my life years past. And I mentioned that there was, I still have some of the crafts that I made in Vacation Bible School at Gospelite years ago. And I think one of my kids said they had crafts back then. And so, whatever. But you know, I thought that the rest of us, you know, those of you that were here Saturday with a lot of stuff, everybody was going, as my mother would say, everybody was going witchy-wah. And I felt like that sign out there that's got, you know, arrows pointing in different directions. And I felt like I was going in all directions at the same time. But, you know, folks, I just want to give credit where credit is due. Brother Mike Wall did more than all of us. Okay? His wife asked him, you know, my wife has asked me to do a lot of things. But never has she asked me to install an entire solar system. And I looked at him and I said, you've already got the solar system done? He said, I've got it done. I said, man, I looked at you and I didn't think that you were capable of putting up a solar system. He's got my respect. I mean, an entire solar system, people. Do you get what I'm saying? Walk in the men's Sunday school class there. I mean, it's just right there. And so, I mean, we got a little bit done compared to that. So, anyway. But it's good to be here tonight. I wanted to, just before the service, to do a trial run. We're having a little bit of fun tonight, enjoying some things. Let me see here, do a temperature. Both of these are cold. Did y'all know that? Is this one for you, preacher? Well, I'm going to take the one on the right, okay? And I'm going to slide yours way up there so I don't get no Burrell cooties on there. And but I wanted to take just a minute here. I want to do a test run. Now, I know I grew up with Marvel Comics and other things and, you know, all the shows with the heroes and things like that. And I know you did too. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a superhero. There were things, you know, you tie ropes as a kid to trees, you swing here and you do that and you make up little playthings and you want to be that guy, you know, that comes and saves the day. So if you give me just a minute, I want to just try it out and see what you think about my superhero outfit. So do not adjust your dial, all right? Be right back. Some of you young people don't know what a dial is. You don't even know what a rotary phone is or a telephone pay phone. So give me just a minute here. I'm going to get this thing on. And I know you've had heroes in your life, and maybe this will inspire you to be a hero. We'll try this thing on here. Let's see here. That goes there. All right. Watch your minds. Okay. Keep it clean. We're in church tonight, people. All right. Here we are. I'm getting there. Every superhero's got a mask. I don't know why he don't want nobody to know who he is, but hey. I guess if you wear this kind of stuff, you don't want people to know your real identity. But anyway, but this will help all of us tonight to put in perspective, you know, what heroes have to do and sacrifice to be a superhero. And I hope that my outfit will reflect the super part. All right, Stay there. Don't adjust your dials. I think we're about ready. Okay? Are we ready? Are y'all ready? I might as well go ahead and say this. Lord, forgive me, for I know not what I do. All right, we ready? Does that not strike fear in your heart? If you saw this coming, would you run? You know, I believe it's striking fear in your heart that the Department of Motor Vehicles has given me the same driver's license to drive on the same roads alongside of you. Check it out. What do you think should be what should be my superpower? Should I gobble them up? Huh? My supersonic gobble? Huh? What do you think? Or better yet, when I blow up that poof. You ever seen a turkey do that? Huh? Have you ever seen that? The gloves are for free. I've never seen a turkey. Once I see a turkey with boxing gloves, I'm going to quit hunting them. I'm going to quit eating them. So what do you think? Pretty good? Huh? That's going to work. I wasn't looking for applause, but anyway, I'll be right back. I'm going to come back as my ordinary person there, you know. So, my goodness. What superheroes have to go through. I really appreciate them now. So, if you've lost respect for me, get in line. I'm 51. I've lost a lot of respect. If I sent out a search party tonight, I couldn't find a bit of it. So, anyway, well, tonight I'm standing in front of what was deemed by some of the folks as the Daily Witness. And we went through a lot of things, you know, the good news publications. But the Daily Witness, you know, you've got the Daily Planet and all that. And we depicted a dark city, could be Centropolis. We live in a dark world. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you know, the truth is, now my Bible says that Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate was asking him, "Are you a king?" And he said, "My kingdom is not from hence." He answered him, "Yes. I am a king, but not from here now." And he told Pilate, he said, that to this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, to bear witness to the truth. He's the truth. In John 8, he said, "I bear witness of myself." He said, it says in your law that two men agree. In other words, they bear witness. Two have to bear witness to the truth. He said, "I bear witness of myself, and my witness is true. And my Father that sent me bears witness." And so you have that bearing witness. The truth is this, folks. Everything that God created was good. When he finished his creative work, even man, everything was very good, Genesis says. But man sinned and disobeyed God, and the world fell in darkness and hopelessness. And the thing is sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And this thing went from being very good to very bad. And that's the truth. Jesus came, and the purpose of his birth was for his complete end to be Calvary. To die on a cross for the sins of the world. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into this world, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means everybody here tonight, whether you know Christ as your Savior or not, This saying is worthy to be accepted of you, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Paul said, of whom I am chief. He came into the world to save. This world needed a hero, a champion. This world has had its champions. If you look through history, you'll see the champions that the world has raised up and sent out there. And just like the champion of the Philistines that rose up out of that camp, and boy, they said, man, he's over 9 feet tall. He's been a warrior since his youth, and he can whip anything that breathes in this world. He's our champion. He died. You understand? The world's champions are not really champions. And our purpose that I want the children at this Vacation Bible School, their minds to be directed from these fictional characters that are heroes, superheroes, in the world's eyes and depicted on television. I want their minds to be changed from that to seeing Jesus Christ for who He really is and the champion of heaven that He is. When Jesus Christ, He looked at Pilate and He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world to bear witness to the truth. And you know, the governor there, the Roman governor, said something that our politicians and leaders today are having a problem with. He said, what is truth? He is looking at the incarnate truth face to face. He knew there was something different about this man. He knew that he was a king. And he knew his wife had a dream that God warned her to tell him, don't do anything to that just man. And he knew something was special. And the Jews came to him and said, take those names off of that inscription. He said, what I've written, I've written. But Pilate didn't know what the truth was. And I believe with what we're faced with today in politics and in governments, not just here but around the world, they don't know what the truth is. That's why there needs to be a daily witness of the gospel, of the grace of God, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And for us that are saved and believe, it is the power of God in our lives. Now, I've got some champions in my life. You know, I think Pastor alluded to this. You know, we love our moms and dads. And I try to, when I preach, I carry a pocket knife. My dad bought me at Bernhardt Hardware when I was 10 years old. I like to have a piece of my dad on me when I preach. And then I try to carry a scarf of my mother's when I preach. I like to have it on my body. Every now and again, I get it out, and I'll smell that scarf. I'll thank God for my mom and my dad. My dad, they loaded him up. They took him over to England, the 30th Infantry Division, and they got him prepped and some training over there, and then they put him on a ship, and they transported him over to Normandy, and they let him down. They scaled those nets on the sides of the ship and went down into those boats that would take him onto the shore to fight one of the world's champions and his army, and stand against that army. My dad, a little bit shorter than me, I've got his uniform upstairs at the house that he wore. That was his dress uniform. And Dad climbed down on one of those boats with the rest of the guys. By the grace of God, he wasn't killed on the beach there at Omaha. But he made it in. I've been reading a lot of things about those things that took place over there. I believe my dad went, and there was a canal, Vera Tet, something like that, canal that they crossed and into a couple of cities right before they went into San Lo. And San Lo was where the general said that if the 30th Infantry Division could, they called it the spearhead, and if they could pierce through San Lo, they'd drive his armies back. Dad was wounded out in July. They went in June. And he was wounded out in July by a sniper in the city that tore up his left arm and hand and pinned it to his rifle. And he was shell-shocked. A lot of the bombing and stuff that took place, they were in between U.S. bombing and German bombing and British bombing, and the soldiers that were in the middle of it were bleeding out places in their ears and face and mouth and what have you. What I'm saying tonight is I didn't realize that until I started researching what those troops did. And he became one of my heroes. That he stood for something. He came back and he raised five other boys along with the one that was born while he was over there. And my mother, anybody remember the 1849 bar up around the square of Salisbury? It was right up there down from the square. It was a biker bar. And the Keg, which was at Chestnut Hill. My mother wasn't afraid of either one of them. She went and got her boys out of them by herself. And said, they're underage. You can't sell them beer. These are some of the heroes in my life. Some of the people in this room that took time with me as a young boy in this church and witnessed to me and taught Sunday school. And you don't know it, but when I got saved, I realized, hey, that's a hidden hero right there, that we're enabled by God to do things that mean so much to me now. And we're not idolizing men. I just know that God uses people. See, that's a real hero in this world. God uses them. Everybody in the Word of God that's in this Bible, they are not powerful in and of themselves. It was God through them, just as was preached this morning. God magnified through that life. I got some heroes. But in 1981, I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. And everything that I had as a hero paled in comparison. Paled in comparison. There's nothing to compare to now. Oh, I like things and some movies will come on and boy, that'll be a great shoot 'em up love story. I'm not a Hallmark person. There's just too much smooching there. I mean, somebody's got to get whacked to make it a movie. I'm sorry, but just... Somebody's got to rough somebody up and have a disagreement and maybe make up and be friends, but clock him one time. If there's going to be a man watching the movie, I'm going to fall asleep. But the Lord Jesus Christ is my hero. And the more I learned about him, just like learning about my dad, learning about my mom, and learning about other people as I grew in the Lord, I started learning more about this champion of heaven and what all he's done for me. And the fact that way back before I existed, he was planning some things for me. This is not a hero that didn't do his homework. This is a hero that planned some things. You see, I'm standing in front of something that's supposed to be like a news publication building in Centropolis, the Daily Witness. And it's a place where it's a dark city, and it's a place where truth can be proclaimed. Just like this church. We might live in a so-called Centropolis around here. You can look at the Salisbury paper and see where apartment buildings are being shot up around here by people drive-by and shooting people and killing people. Homicides here in Salisbury. We're not talking Charlotte. We're not talking Los Angeles. We're not talking Miami. We're talking Salisbury, North Carolina. There's crime, there's drugs, there's abuse of people in this place. There's kidnappings, there's thefts, you name it. It's right here in town. We're living in this world. And we need to be the pillar and ground of the truth for this community. This place needs to be a place where the truth is sent forth from here to a lost and dying world that's living in darkness. Jesus died to free those people, those captives that sat in darkness. And we're supposed to be part of that light that goes out. I've got a guy that's working for me. He's from Colorado. He's got a ponytail braided down to here. And he's pierced and stuff and tattooed everywhere. And he's a hard worker. He's there every day. He gives me 8 hours. He gives me 10 hours. I mean, he is a worker. He's religious in some sort. But we got to talking. He was telling me about his problems and things going on in his life. And I know there's drug and alcohol situations there. I know that. In his life and in his family and so forth. And God gave me the opportunity to sit down at lunch and tell him. I told him, I said, Rob, I said, were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ in 1981 that came by my way and found me, I heard the gospel that he died, he was crucified, he died and was buried, and he rose again to save my soul, to save me from my sins. And I told him, I said, if the Lord had not saved me, there would be just a couple of choices. I would either be in jail. There's a good possibility I could be on the run. There's a good possibility I could be dead. And I said, if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not be who I am today by His grace and by His power and by His mercy. And I would not have the blessings in my soul and in my life if it were not for Him. Right. And folks, people need to know that there's a hero out there. The world's looking for somebody. Just like when John came to prepare the way of the Lord, the people there in Jerusalem were in expectation. They were under Roman rule and domination, and they were weary of it, and they were looking for a way out. Somebody. They were looking for a Messiah, a Savior, somebody. And God in His wisdom, God in His wisdom sent the Savior in as a little child. You see, what is it? Over in Proverbs 25:25, it says, I want to tell you some good news here tonight. Proverbs 25:25, and I better get my peepers on because I can't see. Stephen was making fun of me, but the Lord will get him back for that. He'll pay him back. It says here in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Well, there was news that came to a group of shepherds one evening in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. And this is what the book says. It says, let's see here. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then you see there where the angels burst forth there, and the host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Folks, there's not going to be any peace, and there's not going to be any goodwill toward men until the Lord Jesus Christ is back on this earth. There's going to be unrest. But what I want you to see tonight is that God sent a Savior in the form of a little child. His birth was miraculous. He came and, you know, we had a lot of fun with that outfit, that super outfit. He began in swaddling clothes, and he ended when they sold his garments. They cast lots on his garments. And as was said this morning, foxes had holes and birds had their nests, but the Son of Man didn't have anywhere to lay his head. He didn't have a Superman outfit. Now in Revelation, when you look in Revelation and you see him on that white horse, you'll see the ultimate superhero right there. And he'll be the ultimate avenger then. He said, I will avenge me of mine enemies. And when he comes back to this earth, he's going to be like a meteor when he comes back to this earth. He's going to split the Mount of Olives. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be people that's going to be turned into ashes. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in the upper room, you see, he had superpowers. As a 12-year-old boy, now get this, how many, we got anybody 12-year-old here? Stand up, bud, let me see you, stand up. 12 years old, all right, 12 years old. Anybody else 12 years old? 12 years old, all right, we got some 12-year-olds in here. Sit back down. Jesus Christ went on a trip like some of you boys did, and you get lost from your parents. But he did it on purpose. 12 years old. They were fulfilling the works of the law there at Jerusalem, their obligation. And he got lost with the company they were traveling with, so they said. And they went back, and it took them 3 days, and they found him in the temple. Now, if you do a little Bible study, you'll see after 3 days, Jesus is going to be in his temple. That's just a preview as a child what he's going to do as the Savior, okay? All right. They found him, and he was sitting there in the temple with the doctors. He went in and he sat down and he listened to them. And then he started asking them questions. And they were astonished. That means they couldn't figure out where'd this kid come from. Now, how many of you noticed these boys when they walked into the church tonight? If I would have asked you after church, did you see these three boys and called their names? You'd have said, I don't know. I didn't see them. Maybe they didn't come to church tonight. But that was a young superhero that walked in that place. God had him undercover. And he walked in and he sat down in that church. And he listened. You want to learn something about this church? We got visitors here tonight. You come in, you sit down, you listen to a church. You listen to what's being said in the hallways. You listen to what's being said in the classroom, what's being taught, what's being preached. And that's what Jesus was doing in that temple. He was checking them out to see what they knew, and then he asked them questions and blew them away at 12 years of age. And Mary came in and Joseph came in, and they were amazed. So the doctors were astonished, and the parents were amazed at what Jesus was doing. And a little bit of that superhero, that heaven's hero, kind of poked out. He said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You see, he was sent by God, David, as you said Wednesday night. He was sent by the Father to do his work and to complete it. And as 12 years old, the Bible says he had to subject himself to them again. Come under their authority and go back home with them. He knew more of the law and of God's Word. He was the incarnate Word of God sitting there at 12 years of age. Those men, those doctors could have learned a lot from him at 12 years of age. Superpowers. His first miracle was that he had power over the elements. He changed the water into wine. He had power over the body. He could heal the sick. He could cleanse a leper. He could make the blind to see. He could raise the dead. And when they disagreed with him and wanted to put their hands on him, he just disappeared in the crowd before their eyes, and they could not put their hands on him. He had a stealth mode he could go in. Amen, that's superpower. He didn't have the goofy costume. He just looked like the ordinary man. There was nothing that you could look on him and say, boy, he stands out. He had the power to walk through a wall with the doors shut. You just name it. Powers that literally these Marvel comics can't do. They're just actors in Hollywood that are paid big salaries to play the part they play, but they can't save anybody. You see, there are heroes in the world that can save us, as Pastor said this morning, from a car wreck, a burning vehicle, a burning house. They can come and they can stop the bleeding of a wound and save you from bleeding out. They can save you from some circumstances, but they can't save you from the most important things, and that's the sin that dwells in every one of us. Can't save you from your sins. That is ultimately the thing that's killing all of us in this world today. Sin is the number one cause of death. The Bible says sin entered into the world and death by sin. It doesn't matter who you are, how good you've been all your life. Ultimately, sin that is in you is why you are going to die. That should be on every corner's tag on the toe, death by sin. It ought to be on there somewhere because it is the cause of death for mankind. It's going to take someone that's more than just a hero, more than just a champion. It's going to take what God says, a redeemer. It's going to take a savior that has power over sin and death and hell. Spider-Man doesn't have that. Superman doesn't have that. None of those guys have that. I love our firefighters and I love our police officers and I love people that are emergency response and others that do great things, our military. They can help, but they can only go so far. Their power is limited. Their power is needed. Their power is appreciated, but it's limited, folks. This world needs a Savior. Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost and to save sinners. To save. It says over, I believe in Matthew 1:21, He shall save His people from their circumstances under the Roman government, from their economical problems. Give them a better economy and give them better vehicles, a newer donkey or something. Yeah, a better washboard for the ladies, maybe a wash pot that, you know, somehow you can get it from the stream to the house. To save His people from their sins. And that's what these children and their parents, that's what I needed to see, was that I was lost. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Sin reigns over people today. We think the government, everybody's looking for power in the world. Men want to reign over people, but it is sin that ultimately reigns over mankind. Jesus came and He's the only one. Over in John chapter 18, I want to read this and I want you to see something that He says here to Pilate. He's the only one qualified. In John 18 and verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto Him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I... You see anybody else in that sentence? That I... Do you see Dwayne in there? Do you see anybody else in there? That I should bear witness unto the truth. He's the only one qualified. This champion that the Father bears witness of, that He's qualified. He said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, there at the baptism of John. This is the one. He is that prophet that should come. Moses was a good prophet. Isaiah is a good prophet. Jeremiah is a good prophet. All the prophets were good prophets. But He was that prophet. He was the one that was, and the only one qualified to bear witness unto the truth. He's the only one. Nobody else is qualified. He is the truth. He said, I bear witness of myself. He bears witness that truth failed. When man sinned, truth failed in the earth. Sin took over. Jesus Christ knows that man failed. God knows that man failed. As was said, I think it was Wednesday night when David and others that have preached in here, as soon as man sinned, as soon as man fell, God promised a Redeemer. That's Genesis 3:15. He promised a Redeemer would come. He's on the way. And folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ came and He bore witness of the truth. The truth is the world is fallen into sin. Men live in darkness. The Bible says that the lost are dead in trespasses and sin. But this champion came. The Bible says that He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we've preached in the past and others have preached in here about the fact that Jesus Christ bore the sins of the world from Adam to the ones that have not been yet committed today until the end of time when He says it's done. That's a lot of sin. And the Bible said He sweat great drops of blood. I believe He saw something there. I believe He saw the magnitude of the sin that was going to be poured into Him. That He was not only going to bear witness of the truth, He was going to bear the sins of the whole world in His body. And He sweat great drops of blood. And He still had it in Him. See, if I would have been in His position, and you would have been in His position, I would not have been the superhero. I would have been the one that would have said, that's not my will. That's not my will, so I don't want to do that. Jesus said, yet not my will, but thine be done. We're going on with this thing. I've got to do what You sent me to do, Heavenly Father. He's the only one qualified. I can stand here tonight and, I can talk of all the heroes in my life, but there's one that came to my aid. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 is one of my favorite verses. See, what does a superhero do? A superhero, he hears of someone in distress and he comes a-running. And, Superman had the supersonic ears and the eyes that could see through everything. And they get all that from the Word of God and they don't give God any credit for any of that. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6... For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That word succor, He said, I have succored thee, means to run to support somebody, to run to help in a difficulty, to come and run help in time of want or distress, to deliver you from suffering. That's what a superhero does. How many of you tonight could honestly say in your heart that He came to you and He succored you? He heard me in a time accepted. The day of salvation. Who made the day of salvation possible? He did. He made it possible that there is a day of salvation for me. And He came to me and He delivered me from my suffering. As was preacher said, He lifted me up out of that miry clay and He set my feet upon a rock. Boy, He established my goings. He put a new song in my heart. He changed some things in me. And folks, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for any other heroes. When I look at the heroes of the world, and I look at Jesus Christ, the heroes of the world look like Turkey Man. just as absurd and silly and ludicrous as Turkey Man. Because, see, Jesus Christ came to me. He saved my soul. And that night at Back to Bethel camp meeting, I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of taking in what just took place to me. I came there with a girl that I was not interested in marrying her and she being my wife. I was a 16-year-old boy. That says enough. Amen. Amen, boys. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Come on. Be honest right there. Yeah. I left the pew she was sitting in and I went down because I knew that God was dealing, somebody was dealing with me greater than me. And I went down and I asked the Lord to save me. And I'm sitting on the front pew there. Let me say another hero in my life. And there's many others behind him. Brother Percy Ray. He stood and preached that night. There go the ships. What ship are you on? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? He preached his shirt tail out that night. And I couldn't do anything but squirm and move and wiggle and sweat. And wish to God he'd shut up and quit preaching so I could go home with his girlfriend. And I cut my hair for nothing just because my mama said to. It's going to take me months to grow it back out. Maybe I can have a man bun. I thank God. That's a hero in my life that stood and he preached and proclaimed the Word of God. Thank God for my pastor. Amen. And pastors like him that'll stand and they have a desire for the office of a pastor. They eat it, they sleep it, they drink it, they dream it. Thank God there's some heroes in my life because they spoke truth to me when I didn't want to hear it. And I thank God for preachers. God opened my eyes that night and I looked at my mother and I looked at church people here at this church and I said, Lord, them's not the same people right before Back to Bethel. I thought they were lunatics, Mom included. But boy, he opened my eyes up. And he became real to me, walking back and forth to Salisbury High School, going into the 11th grade. And I started walking. And confronted by the old friends and by the old peers and everybody. And this one in school, this guy wasn't no longer the cool guy for me. He wasn't no longer the ringleader and the gang boss. He wasn't my hero anymore. Someone else had filled that spot. The TV shows didn't dominate anymore. The time spent on these things didn't dominate anymore. There was a new hero in charge of my life, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve what I have. I don't deserve the things I enjoy in this life. You say, well, Dwayne, you don't have a lot. Well, I have God, and I have eternal life. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm going to heaven on His righteousness and not mine. I'm going to spend eternal life without sin, a new nature with no longer being bothered by sin in my flesh and fighting that battle that was said this morning. I've got eternal life. But you know what? You say, well, that's all? Think about it. Think about it. Wrap your mind around what we just said tonight. Just wrap your mind. But on top of that, I'd like for my family to stand up. Y'all stand up just a minute. That's some of my riches. On top of salvation. And the rest of you here tonight, that know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as a part of this church, stand up. If you know Jesus Christ, if He's your hero, you're my family.
You see, that's on top of eternal life. That's on top of all of heaven and being an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You can be seated. I'm part of the family of God. You see, this superhero, he's given me a lot. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from myself. He saved me from hell. He saved me from the judgment and the wrath of God because of my sin. He sealed me with His Holy Spirit of promise. He's given me His Holy Spirit to be my comforter and guide. He's given me His Word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, an instruction that I can be fully equipped and prepared and furnished to do a work for God and to follow Jesus. Heaven's hero, they sang, I will follow. And this week, folks, I'm going to close up. I'm done. I want the people of our community and these children to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want them not to see us, not to see our cool t-shirts and their cool t-shirts, the people that put the thoughts and the ideas and the graphics into that. We got people tonight, we had a guy at Walgreens that said, hey, I like to, he said he's saved, knows the Lord is his Savior, thought it was the greatest. He said, who can be the ultimate hero other than Jesus? He said, if you got t-shirts to sell, I'll buy some. I like them. I'll wear one. But you got neighbors. I challenge you tonight. Get you a handful of those flyers. Take them in your neighborhood, around your house. Look for the little ball and trampoline and the toys and find where the kids are. Talk to the parents and invite them to Vacation Bible School. Because he's going to be their only hope. Without God and without hope in this world. This world is hungry for a hope. And it's not in a boxer that's going to be the next great hope in the boxing field. It's not going to be there. It's going to be in Jesus Christ. So will you tell your neighbors about this ultimate hero? Will you be a daily witness to the people in your community, in your job? Will you tell them that Christ died for them? Will you simply tell them your testimony of what God's done for you? Walk them through. The Apostle Paul is one of our greatest examples. What happened to you? Well, I was on the road to Damascus, and there he went. He would drop the hat to tell that story. Paul, what happened to you? You're not like you were. Well, I was on the road to Damascus. And he tells them who he met. I don't know about you folks, but I can relate to the people in the Word of God. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead in transgressions and sins. And you know what? I've been quickened and made alive. I've been raised in newness of life to live for God. How about you? See, this Savior. You see, He's more than a superhero. He's more than a champion. He's the Savior. And I think we need to change the perspective and the outlook of the people in this community and the children in this community from comics to Christ. I think we need to change that. While the musicians come and they prepare a song of invitation, I'd ask you if you would stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I just ask of each one of us that are saved here tonight to do our very best to reach out to our neighborhoods to these children and their parents and their grandparents with the truth of the gospel.